It is good to see you here. We have a lot of visitors, and so I don't remember all your names. If you've never filled out a visitor's card, that would be helpful. It really helps me to see it in writing, and I will do my best to remember who you are. And our people will greet you well, I pray. This morning, I want to talk to you about giving as a spiritual discipline. We've been talking about spiritual disciplines. Last week we were in Matthew 6, and you remember that it talked about giving in a way that just expected that God's people would give. And so we want to talk about that a little bit today. And we will eventually go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to start with just a little bit of explanation about how we do some of the giving and collection here, because I recognize that some of you probably don't know. You haven't had the information. So if we could maybe see the PowerPoints there. We, you know, in our financial system here in this church, we have different funds, as most organizations do. Our first one is called the General Fund. So, next slide. The General Fund is what it says. It's when you put money in the normal offering, you know, your tithe, your weekly or monthly contributions, anything undesignated that's given to the church goes into the General Fund. And with that, we pay our bills. We pay salaries. We give money to other ministries out of that fund, such as On the Way Home, Young Life, Jeff Gore Ministries, Senior Citizens, Project Graduation, Hope Camp, just some of the things that happen to that. Like I said, we pay our bills, we pay salaries with the General Fund. Now, for this fiscal year, which runs from September through August, we have designated $316,000 of expected obligations from the General Fund. Simple enough, right? Just plain old organizational accounting. Now, out of that, that's really small print. I apologize. When we get that graphic artist on staff, it'll be better. Out of our normal giving, our general giving, every month we take 10% and give it to the Abilene Callahan Baptist Association and the Baptist General Convention of Texas. So that's a two-county organization and a state organization. 3% of it goes to the Abilene organization, Abilene Callahan Baptist Association, and 7% gets shipped over to Dallas to the Baptist General Convention of Texas. And from there, that 7% is further divided. 79% stays with the BGCT. 10% goes to the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention. That's the national level for their operations. 11% goes to Texas Worldwide Missions Initiative. We get choices on how that's designated, and that's how it's been the last few years. Not going to dwell too much on the numbers there. But that's general fund in general, so to speak. We also have designated funds. And just like that slide says, one of those is a building fund. And the building fund is used for major projects, major repairs, and any prospective new building. And so when gifts are designated to the building fund, they go there. Anytime people give memorial gifts to the church in memory of, unless it is otherwise designated, it goes into the building fund. And we send acknowledgments for that as would be expected. In addition to designated gifts, we have just this fiscal year started moving $500 per month from general fund to the building fund, just as a way to pay for the future, right? So that's the building fund. Another designated account is the scholarship fund. You may or may not have known we have a scholarship fund. We have both a CD and a checking account in that fund. And that was started some years ago by a generous donor who said, I want to give this money and I want it to go to graduating seniors who are going off to college or technical school. And we haven't even used that much in the last few years, but this year we have 6 or 7 graduating seniors. And so they can receive, we have a few basic criteria, but they can receive a scholarship for their first year out of that fund. And that fund only gains money when people designate to that fund. But we have plenty to cover this year, by the way. Another designated fund is the Mission Trip Fund for, and we've wrestled over what to call that fund. It's mostly, it's not our summer family mission project. It's mostly international trips or big mission projects, such as sending a group to Lesotho or sending a group to Czech Republic. And it there are monies designated for that. When we started the account, the church just put a lump sum in there. And then when you all were gathering money to go to the Czech 2 years ago to lead a youth camp, all that money was collected there. So some of you have money sitting in that account waiting to go because that trip was canceled. And then it was canceled. And so it's just been sitting there. And now, the Harls were planning to go this summer. And, well, the world's in a war over that way. So we don't know. But that money is gathered for those kinds of trips and projects. And then the fourth designated fund is called the Van Replacement Fund, started a few years ago for what it says, just to have some money set aside for when we need to replace a van. Ours are 06 and 08 models. So they're getting a little bit long in the tooth, but we drive them the last few years less than 2,000 miles a year. So, anyway, we have a van replacement fund that you can designate to if you choose. So we have general fund, we have designated funds, and then we have special offerings, just like the slide says. Now, we're beginning another special offering today called the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, right? It's a longtime Baptist tradition. The Annie Armstrong Easter offering goes to the North American missions of the Southern Baptist Convention. That means the Southern Baptists in America have this organization called the North American Mission Board, and this money contributed to this offering, which we will collect in the next 4 to 6 weeks. You have to designate it. There are envelopes in your pew and back by the offering baskets for you to designate that offering, and it goes directly to North American missions. Money doesn't come out for admin cost. It goes to things like church planting, church revitalization, all kinds of work in North America. Now, another one you're accustomed to is the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And that is a similar offering, but it goes to international missions through the Southern Baptist Convention, the International Mission Board. In other words, as we used to say, to pay our missionaries. It directly goes to Southern Baptist missions around the world. And we take that up at Christmas time for a month or so. And then also around Thanksgiving time, we have the Mary Hill Davis offering, which is for Texas missions. It stays within the state and is orchestrated by the Baptist General Convention of Texas. And then we have occasional love offerings. We call them love offerings because it's a good way to say it. We love something or someone and we want to help. Now, we're going to have a couple of those coming up. In April, on Palm Sunday, we're having a man come from Chosen People Ministries. It is a Jewish Christian organization. And the man will be here to give a presentation called The Messiah in the Seder, in the Passover meal. He will explain the elements of the Passover meal. And they request that we take up a love offering that day just to help their ministry. So that's an example. Cam and Molly will be headed off soon And I've asked that the church do a love offering for them before they leave, just to help them in that transition, to invest in their future. Today at the end of the service, we're going to, Kurt and Danielle are going to explain some things going on with their connection in the Czech that's operating in Poland and Ukraine right now. And there's an opportunity for you to give today to that. Just examples of not random, but special, occasional love offerings. All that makes sense? There's lots of ways. I just want you to have a clue about what happens to your money when you put it in that offering basket at the back, or when we pass the plate, or when we ask you to give to something extra. I want you to have an idea about how that works. Good enough? Yeah. Let's get to some scripture. That's what I like. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There is a giving principle of generosity that applies to many areas of life. We're going to talk about mostly money today, but generous giving applies to all of our resources, including our time. We need to give our time to other people and to causes. But primarily we're talking about money today. This little piece that we're going to read in 2 Corinthians 9 is from the Apostle Paul. And he was causing an offering to be taken up among churches in Asia to be sent back to the saints in Jerusalem because times were hard there. They needed help. And so he was giving them instructions about how to take up this offering and send it back to the saints in Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written in Psalms 112, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We reap what we sow. Agricultural metaphor there, obviously. We reap what we sow. Our harvest is directly proportional to our planting. True? You cannot plant 1 acre of grain and expect to harvest 20 acres. Doesn't work that way. You cannot scatter seeds thinly over a patch of ground and expect a thick stand of grain or hay or whatever it is you're planting. If you want to make a lot of money in the stock market, you have to invest a lot of money. Some say you have to invest more than you intend to make. What you put in determines to a large degree what will be produced. Paul said here, give generously. If you want people to be blessed, give generously. And again, it applies to our money, to our other resources, and to our time. If you want to bless someone with your time, be liberal with it. Give generously. Now, the Old Testament standard for giving back to God, is 10%. It's throughout the Old Testament. And we gain a word from that 10% expectation. We call it the tithe. That's what tithe means, 10%. Now, we use that term more generally sometimes to just refer to our regular offering, but it literally means 10%. As far back as the law of Moses, the people of God were commanded to give a tithe of everything they received or produced. Down to their herbs and spices, they were to give back 10%. And this went for the daily upkeep of the tabernacle and the livelihood of the priest. And that is the origin of the contemporary Judeo-Christian tithe. And that standard is throughout the Old Testament. As late as the prophet Malachi, that's the last Old Testament prophet, as late as his writing, 10% tithing was the biblical standard. In Malachi 3, the prophet was demanding a change among the people of Israel. He said, "You're robbing God by withholding your tithes. You're not giving all of your tithes as you should, and you're robbing God." In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." You cannot outgive God is how we sometimes paraphrase that. Now, in the New Testament, there is never a direct command for God's people to give 10% of what they produce or receive. Jesus never said, "Thou shalt tithe." But he never said not to. We read from Matthew 6 last week when he said, "When you give, do it privately, and the Lord will reward you." Does it surprise you that there's no New Testament command to give 10%? Now, Jesus knew about the tithe. It was normal for him. He accused some of the really religious people of tithing down to their mint and dill, but mistreating their parents. He said, "You think you're upholding the law, but you're breaking other law." It was part of Jewish life. But he never said, "Thou shalt give 10%. So I will not command you to tithe. It is a biblical standard. It's a standard. It's a help for us to understand how to give. Jesus fulfilled the law. He filled it up. He turned commands into principles. You see, rules are for people that need rules. Principles are for more mature people who can go beyond the rules, can do something more than the rules. Now, stay with me. The expectations of Jesus were far greater than the way all of the religious people were living in his day on earth. Jesus fulfilled the law and he freed us from the law. And then he went about living and teaching a much more holy approach to serving God and serving each other than was being practiced in his day. So he raised the bar, so to speak. Would you say that Jesus himself gave generously? We don't have a lot of talk about him physically giving dollars. He was asked about giving. He said, pay your tax. Give to Caesar what Caesar. Give to God what is God's. And he was talking about more than money. But what about Jesus giving? Was he a generous giver? What did he give? His life? Absolutely his whole self? That's an example of generosity, I would say. So the first principle, that we find here in 2 Corinthians is give generously, right? There are seven principles, like the screen says, out of this passage. The first one is to give generously. If you want a generous harvest, sow generously. The second principle there in what we read from 2 Corinthians is that the amount of your giving is personally determined. Paul said, give what you have decided in your heart to give. That should free you up. This church does not prescribe your giving. Paul was taking up a collection for the churches in Achaia and Macedonia to send back to Jerusalem, and he said that they should give what they decided in their hearts to give. Why did he not tell them, you need to take up 10% of your income to go back to Jerusalem? Because it's not what he meant. He said, pray, let God lead you in it. There is an expectation that you're consulting the leadership of the Holy Spirit as you decide what to give. Seek the Lord and make the decision and be happy about it. And thirdly, do not give reluctantly or under compulsion. You don't need to have your arm twisted and grumble about it. Be happy about it, not reluctantly or under compulsion. It's not like the United Way at work, you know, when the boss, the company tells you what your fair share is. I don't know if they still do it that way. But that's not how we do things here. You decide and give without compulsion, without reluctance. Now, we will tell you about needs. We'll tell you about plans. We'll tell you about opportunities. But then you decide. As you pray, as you let the Holy Spirit guide you, you decide. I don't even like talking about money. I don't like to know about money. It just bothers me. I'm bored with it. I don't worry about what you individually are giving. I don't even know. I don't see the records. I don't try to see the records. I'm not worrying about what you individually are giving. I trust you to be competent between and you and God figure it out. And be faithful and be generous. We can afford to give generously because God is generous. Our fourth principle here is that God loves a cheerful giver, just like the verse says. It's a remarkable statement. It's very simple. God loves a cheerful giver, but it's instructive. God is delighted when he sees his people give cheerfully. If you want to make God smile, give cheerfully. Now, the original language there, the word is something like hilaron. Hilariously. Give hilariously. Enjoy it. Bless others with your giving, with excitement and joy. When you do so, you make God happy. The fifth principle. Why does God bless a cheerful and generous giver? He is able to bless abundantly and he wants to bless you. So why does he bless a generous giver? So that you can continue to be generous. God works through people. It's what he does. He enjoys it. And when he sees a generous, cheerful giver, he's going to make sure you have more so you can give more and help other people. That's how he works. It's an amazing economy, really. Again, it's his plan. He looks around and he finds those who love to give and he provides them with more so they can give. By the way, they're his resources anyway. Our resources are God's resources. We need to see it that way. He is the giver. And he's more than able to supply what we need or want. You can afford to be generous. God doesn't bless you just so you can be wealthy and comfortable. He blesses you so you can bless others. God blesses those who give so that they can keep on giving. The sixth principle here we see in verses 10 and 11, generous giving results in thanksgiving. It causes people to give thanks. When people give, when they're able to give generously, they say, thanks, God. That's fun. And when people receive what they need, they say, thanks, God, for helping us out, for giving us what we need. Generous giving causes thanksgiving. Again, it's a remarkable economy. And the seventh principle I want to mention is to point out from this passage that we read, verses 12 and 15, when we are generous, faith is deepened and new faith occurs. When we give, it causes people to lift praises to God. They pray. They recognize the proclamation of the gospel that comes from and accompanies generous giving. Did you notice there that Paul said that because of your service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience? Giving is serving. Giving is being obedient to God. Giving helps up other people see God's work and give Him praise. And when we recognize what God is doing, our faith increases. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I'm just trying to figure out how to cut this short and get on with what the Harls have to say to us. I didn't preach this message so that you would give generously, particularly today. I've been preaching about spiritual disciplines. Giving is a spiritual discipline. It's the kind of practice that we build into our lives that makes us into the right kind of kingdom people. And by the way, it's fun. It's joyful. So I will leave that with you and God. We will take up an offering specifically for some work that's going on to help people in Ukraine. And this morning we will, after the Harls give a presentation, we will pass the plate, so to speak. We're going to literally pass the offering plates and buckets. And if you want to contribute to that effort, that's the time to do it. Now, just as a matter of teaching here, our normal tithing, giving, will go in the baskets at the back. You see the difference between the special offering and the general offering. But you decide what the Lord's leading you to do, okay? I think I'll be quiet and let the Harls come on up. And by the way, I only found two of our regular offering plates. We haven't used them in a long time. If you have borrowed the other two or you moved them, would you please put them back? Thank you.
So Mark asked us to kind of come up and give an update on somebody that some of you know and has been in our church that is actively participating in the efforts going on in Ukraine to bring refugees out of Ukraine. So I think we all know what's going on in Ukraine is horrible. And many of you, probably like me, are asking yourself, what can I do? You know, what can I do to help? And it's hard because it's across the world, and you want to give your time, you want to give your money, but it's hard to know what do you give to? So I hope when we give you this information today, we can kind of give you an avenue to give. I want to give a little bit of history of who Peter is. Tanil and I had the opportunity to bring an exchange student from Czech to our to to our house. That kind of introduced a connection to the Czech Republic, where Peter Bowdny is his name. He runs a ministry in the Czech Republic that's part of Young Life. We had the opportunity to go serve there at a camp that he puts on, an English camp. By the way, Czech Republic is about 90-something percent agnostic, non-believers, so very non-believing country. When we got back, we put together a team that Mark mentioned previously. We had a team of 24 people in this church that were going to go back to the Czech Republic and serve alongside Peter at this camp again. It got canceled because of COVID, and it got canceled again because of COVID, and hopefully we get to take that team over there. And Daniil and our family are going to go back this summer, depending on what's going over there right now. Peter came to this church. He spoke to some people, I think. I don't know that everybody got to meet him. Peter is an amazing guy. He is fearless. I'm going to let Daniil give the details of what he's doing, because honestly, a lot of it is being posted on Facebook. I'm not on social media, so I don't read a lot of it, but she knows, she regurgitates it to me, and I'm going to let her kind of give the details on that. But that's kind of the history. That's the connection. We have a connection to somebody that is making a huge difference over there right now. And I will say, he is partnering. It's I don't know what to talk about.
Which one is he in the photo?
Oh, okay. He's on the left. Peter's on the left.
Now y'all see how he really feels about social media, though. So, Peter is a fantastic guy. Honestly, he in the U.S. with Young Life, we're fortunate to have. Most of our directors have a committee that helps raise funds and support the ministry. He does not have that there. So I've been just completely amazed with what some of our Young Life leaders in non-believing countries do to make the ministry work. That's some background too. But some of our communication has been, I've been directly communicating with his wife. Her name's Clara. And also he has a private prayer group. We can't share that like through Facebook on any public platforms. It's private. They've asked us not to share it, but we can share it at the church. They gave us permission to do that. But basically from the beginning, some of the Young Life leaders in some of these more Eastern European countries, along with YWAM leaders, so youth with a mission leaders, were called to come together to lead some efforts of moving some of these refugees, honestly, from the hot spot, which right now, if you turn on the news, you can see that's Kyiv, their capital city that's surrounded with the convoy of tanks. Move the refugees from Kyiv to a city called Turnip Hill, which is on the Poland border with the Ukraine. So that's what they've been doing. They've been moving refugees for 8 days now. Average of 2,000 refugees a day. They've joined with an organization of 22 churches who are on the border that are putting these people in churches and community centers. And you see some of the how they're set up. No sleep, vans moving back and forth. They're basically what they did, they've taken off their Young Life, their YWAM stickers, they've put red duct tape, but it's working. and that's allowing them to go through the border. The lines at the border, and this is a picture of that right now, the Clara, his wife said, are 20 to 25 miles long, and it moves about 4 miles a day, to give you an idea. But it's been really cool seeing the testimony that's come out of this, of God like opening the Red Sea as they've moved through in like 90 minutes through a 4 mile line. I have no idea. It's going back roading and everything else. It's pretty crazy, his testimony of some of this, but they're basically taking out the most vulnerable. Now, a lot of people who are left are disabled people, elderly people, and moms with kids who waited till the last minute to get out. And I'm gonna read you just, I mean, there's a lot to read, but I'm gonna just read you a real brief testimony. This one was from 2 days ago. The south and the southeast border of Kyiv is still pretty safe. A lot of police, there's some troops, and a few tanks, but you don't feel the danger. Kids play. A guy with a fishing stick is there. There's long lines and very few open gas stations. You can only buy 6 gallons of fuel at a time. Whenever there's a noise in the air, sirens, missiles from the planes, or bombings, locals with a little smile on their face will say, I can't read this, Eto Nekepo, which means it is nothing, it's just thunder. But you can feel people are very nervous. Unloading of help and loading of ladies is more difficult than usual. There's no clear leadership, no one in charge, a little chaos. People expect from us answers we have no idea about. There's no water for passengers for such a long trip. In this instance, they had 5 vans, 37 old ladies and moms with kids, fast and furious. They were passing lines before the checkpoints. Autistic boy in the car. Constant phone calls with relatives and friends. Constant answer of, I don't know where I'm going. I'm going to Turnip Hill. There's no gas stations open, just fields, bushes without leaves. No restrooms. To do number one, you just stop the van, walk a bit, and do it, including women. The testimonies go on and on. They're heartbreaking. But I will say it's been really encouraging seeing Peter and these leaders' response. They come from a country that was occupied by the Soviet Union up till the 90s. They have complete hope. They have complete hope in God. They know even if the Soviet Union takes over and it becomes that again, God's in control and he's all powerful. And I've seen sermons, I've seen videos of people in these packed refugee camps worshiping the Lord with a guitar and a singer in the room. And I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful picture of how God's working in hardship. But our point of being up here today is if you're looking for an avenue to reach out to some of these people and these churches specifically who are ministering. We have access to Peter's bank account as well as a PayPal account where we've been transferring people who are wanting to give, transferring money into that. And honestly, these people, when they get to the border as of yesterday, they're not able to exchange money even if they have any money. So that's it. So we're just trying to give y'all, not to be doomsday, but just an encouraging, God's working in big ways, and an opportunity to help serve some of these people. He said yesterday, thank you again for all of your prayer and support. Without you, we could not do it. So many got involved, men and women, young and old, Ukrainians, Americans, Czechs, Slovaks, believers, non-believers, experience, non-experience, long friends, new friends, close or far, but all and everything is in love, sacrifice, and hard work. That is God's kingdom right here, and every one of us played a role in it. It's only been 8 days, but it feels like months.
So just real quick, if you felt led to give, the reason we're kind of trying to give it all to the church, and the church is going to give one amount to his efforts, is kind of complicated to give to his PayPal individually, and it's complicated. So we're trying to make that easier on the church, just to do a love offering if you felt led, and then the church will give a one-time gift. Is that well enough, Mark? Okay. So I'm going to recruit these three youth right here for sure. And I'm going to need probably two more to help them, that they can find somebody. Yeah. Y'all can get up now. Get those plates. Yeah.
So we can, for this offering, I'm afraid we can only take cash or checks. I'm sorry, we just can't deal with the phone and things for this. If that's the only way you can do it, then, you know, we'll talk to you later, but this will be cash and checks. You can just go ahead and start down the aisles. Go ahead and start passing the plates. And you can use these buckets here too if you want to expedite it.
Go ahead, Mark.
Were you about to say?
I say when we get done, we do want to pray for them.
Yes, we'll do some praying there, and then we'll have the music team. In fact, the music team, that's, y'all can go ahead and filter on up. If we come across a more expedient means to do this later, we will let you know. We know that this is just one part of the work that's going on in that area right now, but it's a part we're connected to. And so it's an opportunity for us to be a part of it as well. Let me make just a couple of announcements. And while we're doing this, we want to do that later. This Wednesday, we have fellowship meal at 6 o'clock. Fellowship meal in the gym, 6 o'clock Wednesday. I mentioned earlier, Palm Sunday, April 10th, we will have the presentation, Messiah in the Seder. And so it's a good time to invite guests for Palm Sunday. And then the next Sunday is what? Easter. That's when somebody told me a term for that, people who come at Christmas and Easter. We'll expect a big day then. Yeah. Invite your friends to that. Right.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Is for anyone who wants to give later that couldn't give today, or give more later, can we give it directly to Mark or you?
Yes, and that's a good question. If somebody is not able to give today, but you do want to give it a later date, best thing to do would probably be just to contact Tenille or I. And there is a way, you know, to give directly to his PayPal account. It's just a little more complicated than we wanted to go into here. But yes, if somebody wants to give it a later date, just let us know, and we can help you out there.
And also, if any of you have more interest, there is a private group of a prayer team. Have interest in joining that, we can assist you with that. So just let us know, holler at us on that. And they're given just kind of daily updates where they're at and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, let's pray. God, we trust you. We trust your plan in everything. And it's hard to know what's your plan is in Ukraine right now, but we know you are in control. We know you have a plan, and trust that. And I do pray for your intervention, though, Lord, in what's going on over there, especially in the Russian leadership, that you would just intervene, Lord, and redirect their path, redirect their thoughts. But God, right now, I pray for Peter and the dozens of other people in the Czech and Poland that are associated with churches and YWAM and Young Life and whoever it is, Lord, that are putting their lives at risk and traveling back and forth into Kyiv and then back into Poland and the Czech. Well, I just pray that you watch over them, that your hand would be on them, Lord, that your protection would be over them, to take them in there and bring them back out safely and do the work you have placed upon their hearts to do, Lord. Help them be bold. Help them be fearless. And Lord, help them be a witness to those that they are, because a lot of these people are not Christians, Lord. So help them be a witness to those that they are moving back and forth between these countries. And God, I pray that you use the gifts we've collected today to further that cause, Lord, to do your work, to be the hands and feet of you, of your son. God, we love you so much, and we thank you. In your name we pray, amen.